smash my knee.
I even gave my secretary one note.
I know we're up and running again.
Yes. We are live.
Yeah. I would like to say I got to visit with some of the students from Lakewood there for a few minutes. How nice it is to have the arts come up as a topic, not because we're trying to cut it, but because we're trying to expand it. Isn't that refreshing?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That means that we're not going to allow ourselves to be defined by the budget problem. So thank you.
So I'm going to say to the team in front of us, let's continue. You have the last item on the agenda. Let's finish the work we need to get finished tonight.
Thank you, President Mitchell. As we transition back into this conversation, another idea that we're testing the viability on is the idea of expeditionary learning. This comes to Jeffco in a variety of ways. Many of our schools are interested in this programming, and some of our teachers have started to use these resources to meet the needs of our kids. You're going to hear about some excitement and enthusiasm from the teacher perspective. You're also going to hear about some ideas that we think will help to make some of our existing schools viable in partnerships with their staff and community. So with that, I'll turn it over to Karen Kwanbeck, who's going to talk a little bit more about programming.
Thank you. And I really want to thank you for listening throughout the whole evening to a lot of different ideas. I know this is one of the final ideas that we're talking through, and that short break right before was key so we can really go deep into what this is. And I won't go past my time. Everyone's timing me here. They have their phones out, and they're going to let me know if I go over. So expeditionary learning. We do have actually two schools currently who are pursuing an expeditionary learning model. I'll talk a little bit about what it is in general, and then actually hand it over to one of our principals, Jen Pennell, who is here from Dutch Creek. We have a third school that we're thinking about expeditionary learning as a model to pursue, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But one other thing I wanted to quickly highlight is as we've looked at the expeditionary learning model and thought about it in some of the future schools, actually the choice in and choice out data is one that we've studied and thought about. Where are our kids coming from? Who lives in the area? Where are they going to? And I'll talk a little bit more about that when we get there. So just in terms of what it is, again, in a nutshell, and then I'll pass it to Jen, who will do it much more justice. It's really, it's having kids learn in ways that's more than just sitting in classrooms. It's having kids really experience the world through learning expeditions, which are in-depth investigations of different topics. It includes highly rigorous content, and again, I think Jen will talk a little bit more about that. It's got a character component to it. It includes a strong partnership with the community as kids go out into businesses or into community places to engage in their learning. It's very student-driven, and it absolutely aligns with the work of Jeffco Generations, which is one of the reasons we're interested in it. Additionally, although one of our schools, the Bradfords, who's been pursuing it, does not fit into this category, it targets a higher FRL demographic. In fact, you can't become an official EL school unless you are 40% FRL or above. And we'll talk about how that applies to another school in a few minutes. So I'll hand it over to Jen.
Okay. Thank you for listening to us at this late hour. I appreciate that. The circles up, and it shows the intersection of three different concepts is what EL is based upon. So mastery of student knowledge and skills, high quality student work that is authentic and meaningful, and also character, and some character traits are built in there. To give you a little bit of background, Dutch Creek's engagement with EL education began with our dynamic and engaged teachers, who recognized in our students that we really need to redefine student engagement and the student learning experience. And this came from our intermediate teachers who honestly were seeking. And they said, we really need to reinvent this. We really need to look at student learning differently. And they have their boots on the ground and they are interacting with students every day. And the students are begging for more engaging, rigorous learning that is challenging but also honors where they are as human beings and in their developmental stages. They are very curious creatures, and we love working with them and shaping and molding their knowledge. So EL comes from very humble beginnings, just so you guys know that. It's very student-centered, learner-centered. place that it came from. It's designed around Common Core State Standards and is highly aligned with Common Core State Standards. It's also based on the concept of equity for all students and high levels of learning for all students. So it does look different than how we all experience literacy instruction when we were in school. So I think that's important for you to know. The staff asked for me to share with you that the authentic work for students is engaging and joyful. The classrooms are noisy, and because it has kids working in collaborative teams with each other, and it has we're following protocols for collaborative work and collaborative discussion. We've had parents come in and observe and say, I've never even heard adults have that kind of discourse of, oh, I respectfully disagree with you. And having those words put as sentence stems for them to be able to process together and how to come to consensus with each other. It honors the personal voice of the students and their ideas. As they think creatively and create representations of their learning. It's organized into four modules and units within each module. At the end of each module, the kids have to create some sort of representation of their learning. And we have invited community members in for that, for those presentations, and a lot of parents, and sometimes our parents that we don't see come in are showing up to see their students' representation of their learning. And that has been an exceptional part in this process, too, because it creates a more authentic engagement. The kids really look forward to it, and they are very motivated. So the engagement shift has been phenomenal. And even our teachers who are more, who are more planned out, all of the details in a row, who are a little bit more hesitant to really turn it loose to kids and really let them explore and kind of define their learning at the end, they have come around to this to say the level of student engagement is completely different than what we have experienced in the past, which was much more compliance-based learning, like you were talking about. Much more compliance, much more teacher-centered learning. So we've seen a huge shift, and it's palpable and real. I want to make sure that you guys understand that with it being aligned to Common Core State Standards, that the text that is put in front of students is at their grade level, if not slightly above grade level. And all students are exposed to the same text. It does not take our lower level learners and separate them off or give an off-level text to them. Instead, it is scaffolded differently for our lower level learners, which is so exciting, and because it's bringing work to them. And oftentimes our kids that have learning disabilities have different perspectives that should be honored. And we're seeing great gains from that too, because for example, we had our kids were reading a poem, and we had one girl who's on an advanced learning plan sitting right next to a student who has a pretty significant learning disability. But the poem was about the moon, and it never specifically said it's about the moon, and so our student on the advanced learning plan didn't get it. She said, I don't get it. I don't understand what this is. But then the kid that has the learning disability, he said, well, if you listen to, you know, how the words are put together and the phrasing and how that comes out and some of the vocabulary, it's about the moon. So he got it. And that's something that in the past our students would not have possibly even been exposed to. And so we're working together in those collaborative groups. That's what it means by equity, that it's built on equity for all students and scaffolds them differently into that high grade level text, if not slightly above. So that is a phenomenal shift for us too. It really works to connect the academic standards to real world issues, controversies, local people and places, gives purpose and work, purpose to their work and matters to the larger community, especially when they're presenting their learning. And creates an audience beyond just that of the classroom. Those are pieces that our staff asked for me to share with you. We believe that it's a fit for our school because it really builds vocabulary and oftentimes for kids that may come to school with not as much prior exposure to learning environments. And that's been beneficial for us. We're about 48% free and reduced lunch, and we feed into the Columbine area. It embodies habits of character. Oftentimes, those of you who have heard of growth mindset, perseverance, taking risks with their learning, being reflective every day, challenging themselves and setting goals, and how to collaborate and value diversity of ideas. We're seeing all of this come through with our kids, and it's a lot of work to kind of shift that learning from being so teacher-driven to student-driven, and how do you have these conversations and make sense of this high-level text that's in front of you, and sometimes multiple sources that are in front of you that you're having to make meaning out of. We absolutely believe it lines with Jeffco's generation vision, formerly Jeffco 2020 vision. We believe there's about 100% alignment with it, so we are very excited. It really invites our kids to do critical thinking and to have civic engagement. I'm seeing if there's anything else. It is truly a thinking person's resource. It's no longer like the typical teacher manual that we probably all experienced that basically told the teachers how to teach. It really expects your teachers to blend their knowledge of Common Core state standards and then what they know of their students, and to really engage, like really design lessons that are highly engaging for the students. So four modules. And it is a thinking person's curriculum. It is definitely not a page turner that that some of our teachers have experienced in the past. So this is module one of four. So it's huge. But our teachers are honestly so engaged by this that they are finding they are starving. Their kids were starving for it. They are starving for it. They are finding the capacity to be able to do this work, and they have said, we will follow this work. They are so excited about it. So we are very passionate. We're seeing great things with our kids. The kids are coming to school, and they're saying to their teachers, when do we start EL? When do we start our literacy? Because we want to go now. What are we learning today? What's going on now? And some of the parents have come back and said that their kids who typically went home and they would ask their kids, you know, what'd you learn in school today? And they'd say, eh, you know, the kids are coming home and they will not be quiet about what they learned in school each day. They keep talking and talking about it. And that's a huge shift. And that's from some of our most introverted students. So we're seeing great things with it. We'd be happy to share much more with you if you would like, but I want to be respectful of your time too. But this is very exciting work for us. So, and it came from listening to the teachers who were listening to the students and seeing a need to do something differently. Yeah.
Thank you, Jen. Mm-hmm. I'll highlight one thing that I heard from Jean Lewis at Bradford's. It's another school that's pursuing some components. He said, my middle school teachers would never go back to another way of teaching. He said, it's some of the hardest work all the teachers have ever done, but it's the right work. And there's just no questions whatsoever, even given the extra time and the energy they're putting into it. So let's talk a little bit about Pennington. Pennington is a school that we've had conversations about in the boardroom before. It's an interesting school. And you might wonder, well, why might we consider expeditionary learning for Pennington? And I think you've heard some of the reasons tonight already. We're experiencing success already at two other schools. It's very aligned to the Jeffco generations. It's also very aligned to current practices at Pennington now. You probably remember they have what's called the 21st Century Grant, and that allows them to have what they call intensives in the middle of the day and enrichments at the end of the day. And really, it's an expanded learning day for kids. They're there for 8.5 hours. And so as we've thought about what does EL bring that might match what's currently at Pennington, there's a very close alignment. We're very interested in authentic learning experiences for kids and want to meet the needs of all kids. Additionally, and I'm just going to call it out, at Pennington, we want to do everything we can to ensure that this school is sustainable and viable moving forward. When we take a look at kids who live in the attendance area, the numbers, when we take a look at kids who choice in and choice out, We believe that we can do something at Pennington that could help this school be more sustainable over time. So that's part of the driver, too. It's right on the I-70 corridor, as you know, Kipling, so accessibility for families who might be driving right through Jeffco to go to an EL school in Denver. We're right there. I'm going to call that out, too. So what we've done so far when we've thought about Pennington, and we wanted to be very careful given some of the conversations that we engaged the community in last spring. We wanted to really honor the stakeholder meetings we had last spring and come to them not with kind of this open, what are all the things you might want to do, but we really want to come to the Pennington community and say, we think we have some ideas. What do you think? Does this fit? Does this align with your beliefs and our current practices, and does it really honor what we have and build upon it? So far we've met with the staff, and we talked with them about expeditionary learning as a model. We listened to questions. We gathered feedback. We also met with key Pennington staff, a smaller group, and our 21st Century Grant folks from CDE to really listen for alignment and ask the question, what would it take to ensure we could keep the 21st Century Grant and explore the EL model. We have a meeting scheduled on November 29th with the families at Pennington to gather input from our community and say, do you think this fits? And again, being really thoughtful about what currently exists that's working and how might we build on that, as well as address some of the challenges that we know we currently have. Matt, do you have anything you want to add?
So just anecdotally, at each of those meetings, the staff at Pennington was very grateful for the opportunity to be part of the conversation, excited to say, what do we do to help support Pennington, especially in light of the conversations that they were involved in last year. I would also say I had a great opportunity to visit with teachers at Dutch Creek, some of the ones that Ms. Pinnell was talking about tonight. And I said, so if somebody doesn't know about this, what would you want them to do? And they said, come to my classroom. You got to see this. So an open invitation to all of you from the 5th and 6th grade teachers at Dutch Creek. They would love for you to come see this great work in action.
Thank you for mentioning the free and reduced lunch piece, because I have spent time at the Bradfords. I have not spent time at Dutch Creek, and that was my one question. It was amazing what I experienced, just being in the building, seeing how they're working together, and seeing what the kids were doing, and how the kids described it to me. It was transformational in terms of a concept and seeing it in, really, I know, but I wasn't sure in terms of equities, access, whether that was unique to that particular demographic in that community, or whether this is something that is designed, like you were saying, for FRL and implementation when this presentation was coming. So thank you for clarifying that. And my brief experience with that in touring the Bradfords, it is pretty incredible. So I would like to also come see it at just in different environments, because I know there is some creativity there, and really seeing how the community in the school is adapting to it, that would be great.
More than welcome.
You mentioned that it's very different for the teacher. So what was the transition like going from a more traditional model?
It started with it's very much based on the text, Leaders of Their Own Learning, if you're familiar with that. So the teachers take Common Core State Standards and they backwards plan, you know, kind of with the end in mind of what is that final task that the kids will represent their learning. Somehow kids are responsible for creating a representation of their learning. And so they have to take that and then backwards plan it from there. But a lot of the work along the way is kids dissecting text, a speech by Susan B. Anthony, sometimes multiple texts, and they're going through and they're coding it, and then they're having conversations together about it and about what makes sense. Really coming through and trying to think, what are the most important parts of that? And our teachers are really having to hone in on what is the most important concept that I'm trying to teach with this. and they're having to really back themselves out of the driver's seat, like the not imparter of imparting knowledge upon the kids, but instead, how do I work as a guide on the side and help facilitate their learning along the way and ask those questions so that the kids have to do it and they're owning that learning along the way. It's not the teacher telling them, hey, this is what you should think of this, or this is what I want you to get out of this. Instead, it's asking questions. Well, what do you think of this? How what connections might you make of with this to other ideas or other concepts, or maybe this other text? What are your thoughts? And then just really sitting back and letting the kids own that learning. And that part is different, because we've been so teacher-driven and so teacher-focused, but what you end up with in the end is the kids owning their learning.
So I have to, I'm imagining myself being a teacher in a transition here, September, you know, thinking, okay, we've decided to make this change. Now what do I do with this class in front of me? Is there some sort of preparation instruction that helps the teacher in August and July try and anticipate what they're going to be doing and how they're going to really be changing their own behavior to get this achieved?
Yes, we're very blessed to have an instructional coach who had training and exposure to a school that was implementing this in the past. And she also is a Jeffco alum. And so we're very blessed to have her along our side. And she's willing to work with our teachers to start processing through what this looks like. And I think that's been very helpful for our teachers to have that guidance along the way with her. We can have also had some of our teachers go out and see other EL schools so that they can see what it looks like in practice and when it's fully implemented and rolled out, and that has been very helpful as well. So we're working in partnership with EL Education to be able to get ourselves trained and get our minds shifted into what this sort of instructional model would look like.
In addition, Expeditionary Learning as a partner offers multiple days of professional development, professional learning opportunities, expanded site visits for teachers to really kind of roll up their sleeves and dive into the work. Our curriculum and instruction department has evaluated the EL resources against our resource review process to confirm that all of the expectations identified in our curriculum is met through the resources provided through EL. So there's been some extensive partnership to make sure that the resources support students, and extensive partnership to support the training in the transformation of those teacher practices. What's fun to see, and I hope you get the opportunity to visit, when you ask teachers that question, it's true. They say, I'm not going back to teaching the old way. I couldn't do it. And so it's very exciting. It's transformational. But the momentum that builds upon them connecting back to their foundational beliefs about teaching and learning to foster that level of inquiry with students is fun to watch through the eyes of the kids.
So you were talking so fast. So what kind of training do the teachers get? Is there EL training in Denver? Or, I mean, they have the opportunity, I heard you say, to go out. Are they required?
So I think there are 6 days in the fall, six days in the spring. Awesome. Opportunity to work with a cohort group of other schools that are in the implementation stage. And also opportunities to go out and see schools that have already implemented. And then an opportunity to work with our coach and then also some of the coaches from EL Education to help guide our school in that process. We're thinking creatively with our community and thinking about the 5 early release days next year and what we might be able to do with those. And if we might be able to think like some of the other articulation areas have of possibly asking our area if those could be full days instead of half days. So that's something that our accountability hasn't approved of yet. But we're thinking of heading possibly that direction to be able to support some of the training. So that's less impact on parents, fewer days that there would be subs, you know, in their students' classrooms. So we're really trying to make this doable within what we already have, the budget that we have, the building that we have, really trying to make it doable and then sustainable as well.
Okay, that's good to hear. I mean, I think professional development, and not just, I think high quality professional development is so important. And I'm Expeditionary learning is just a very exciting pedagogy. I mean, I just think it's a very exciting. I can't wait to go visit. It's Jeffco Open, and who else? And you guys, is that it?
It's Dutch Creek and the Bradfords. So the Bradfords have taken the concept of crew, which is kind of the character component of this, and really implemented that. And so they have that going. And then we're working on implementing the full modules plus the character pieces. We're building towards that. At Dutch Creek.
Okay, awesome. Yeah.
An interesting connection with that you might already know is Everett has crew as part of their day already. Tim Carlin has a passion for expeditionary learning and brought part of that to Everett. So.
And I've heard them talk about that, but I haven't really understood what exactly it is. So now I can ask more questions about that, not now. But so I just, this whole, I will never go back to traditional style of teaching. It's so funny because I was just having coffee with an educator that I used to work with up north in Adams 12, and she said the exact same thing that teacher said, and she's teaching in a STEM school. And I feel like what you're saying is exactly what she was saying. And then you talk about compliance-driven, I feel like, I started teaching in 89, and it wasn't compliance-driven until No Child Left Behind. And I really feel like that, I really want to free our teachers of the compliance-driven mentality that's out there. There are no waivers for expeditionary learning, are there? I mean, I want to free them all from the compliance-driven mandates that they're feeling the weight of. And they are feeling the weight of them. And I love that, the veterans that I taught with in the 90s found ways around it, right, to still do the authentic stuff. So I love expeditionary learning. I love everything I've learned about it. I can't wait to visit Jeffco Open. I would love to visit your school, and I can't wait to learn more about crew at Everett. And thank you for this presentation.
I want to real quick just say to the Dutch Creek education community, y'all have kind of been one of these positive outliers in the Jeffco universe for a while, and I just want to credit you all. You are achieving learning for students that bends the learning curve. If we looked just at predictors like free and reduced lunch rates, you wouldn't have math and English language arts outcomes for students that you do, but you obviously have practiced high expectations for students for a long time, and I just want to give you credit for that. Ditto for Pennington, who was a turnaround school and is now a performance school. That is a huge deal, and that is worth celebrating. I really love everything I see at the Jeffco Open School. I really love hearing about these kind of Socratic methodologies that really create learning ownership among the students. And I'm also hearing that that is not a negation of strong learning outcomes, that it really expresses that. I want to understand better the expeditionary part of expeditionary, because I just heard you talk a lot about this great collaborative thinking and student learning ownership and tearing through some texts, but where are they going and what are they doing?
Okay, so sometimes, and I did ask EL Education, because we don't have a huge budget. We operate on a shoestring budget, and said, basically, our grade levels go on about 4 field trips a year, and they said, that's great, right there. So our fourth graders have already been to the Clifford Still Museum, and the docents came out from Clifford Still to work with our kids in advance so they could prepare our students. Then they went to the Clifford Still Museum and came back, and they wrote poetry about what they saw that also is kind of infusing a personal narrative, if you will, about their own experiences, and it's positively moving. So that's an example of like a community partnership. Another example that I've seen is one of the units in fourth grade is they're studying animals and animal defenses. And so they were going through that process, and it just so happens that like a parent has a hedgehog, and so they brought him in to talk about how is the hedgehog constructed, so that there are, what is their defense mechanism, and it's just been fascinating. So sometimes you can bring in like experts from the community into the classroom, and it doesn't mean like going somewhere. And sometimes you can reach out and go different places in the community as well, and that kind of instills that more authentic, meaningful learning.
That's awesome. Thank you for that. I do want to highlight that this is another great example where the by the way, seeing that this question of a guaranteed and viable curriculum and that we are actually delivering content mastery, that that's not an either-or situation with something like innovation or expeditionary learning, that they really are, they coexist and must in the best case scenario. This is also an opportunity, I think, to once again see how an expeditionary learning program might exist at a school or two or three, but expeditionary learning should be something that we're trying to articulate. How do we want to realize that for all students? Back in the day, in the 1980s, as a Jeffco student, for me it was Day on the Prairie. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that thing still exists anymore, but there were opportunities every Jeffco kid got to have a genuine, authentic learning experience that was outside of the classroom. As a student, it was a partnership with one of those SCFD. It was the Denver Zoo. I saw my students walk through a really authentic. I want to make sure that as you all and as Pennington grows this work, we're supportive as a board, and you guys can keep us up to date about how we can do that, but also how you carry the kernel of that experience into other classrooms so it's something all kids have, because it's awesome. It's real learning. It's joyful learning, and that those should be synonymous, joyful and learning. So, thank you, guys.
So two more quick slides, and they come right back to some of the questions you were asking. Tom's going to walk us through innovation funding for ideas of this and a process that we invite schools to consider when we think about that. Then we'll wrap it up. I appreciate your patience and understanding, and more importantly, your thoughtful dialogue and deliberation as we consider innovation.
Thank you, Matt. And we heard a couple of questions tonight about process, evaluation, concerns of oversaturation and systemness, and we think that the Jeffco Innovation Acceleration Fund can address some of these issues. So we know, and I think our conversation tonight was evidence, that Jeffco educators and stakeholders have great and innovative ideas all the time. And in an effort to capitalize on these great ideas and the entrepreneurial spirit of our educators, we're considering the Jeffco Innovation Acceleration Fund. This fund would allow any stakeholder or school to apply for startup funding and go through an application process where they would articulate what's their idea, what's their plan for implementation, and how would it impact the student learning experience, and what are some of the goals that they have along with their innovative idea. Each of the ideas that was described tonight would go through the process of the Jeffco Innovation Acceleration Fund. And our hope is that through this fund and the process, as a system and as a community, we would better be able to capitalize on the enormous amount of talent and great ideas that exist within Jeffco, and also build an infrastructure as a system to support and encourage thoughtful innovation to improve learning, conditions for learning, and readiness for learning. So Matt, if you can just, thank you. Great. So. Regarding building the infrastructure to support innovation, this is a tool that you see here that we are in the process of building out. And in addition to providing what we believe is a strong process to support innovation, each of these sections will include resources for educators and stakeholders that are specific to each stage in this process to help them think through their innovative idea. So supporting and learning alongside our schools, educators, and stakeholders at each stage of this process will help us as a system to do our due diligence in conducting market research, analyzing feasibility, thinking about coherence within articulation areas, and to develop the institutional knowledge and infrastructure to support innovation at any point in the process. Now we'd love to take any questions that you have regarding the process or anything you heard previously.
Ms. Rupert shared the phrase, we don't want to do innovation for innovation's sake. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I definitely see among educators, not just in Jeffco, but really everywhere, there's a kind of fatigue that comes from being asked to do the next new thing or being asked to do one more thing. And I do think that we're coming off of what has been a steady decline in teacher morale over 30 years because they've been asked to do so much, told how so much is wrong. When it comes to creating opportunities for innovation that really do transform the student learning experience. One of the things I want us to be mindful of or kind of protect our staff and students from is feeling like they have to chase a marketing opportunity or chase what's being done in the school, you know, within a couple miles of them or within, because if they don't do something, they're only going to see their student population thinned and their ability to thrive thinned. So how we've had conversations tonight about, you know, this idea of navigating a choice portfolio and elevating equity in everything that's done. How do you imagine that defined autonomy or systemness working so that an innovation idea that a school community might have works in complement with, you know, all schools around it and the district and how we're trying to do something that's unified but not restricted, not command and control?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question, and I think one of the things that we're considering in the application process is that to ensure systemness at the district level is having the applicant articulate which of the 13 different tactics that are identified in the generations document under learning, conditions for learning, and readiness for learning, like transforming the task, customized pathways, so just as some of those examples, is having applicants be able to articulate which of those at least one or possibly more of those tactics are they identifying through their innovation idea. And then I think to your question about the surrounding schools and articulation areas, I think that's something that we're still in the design process of thinking about how applicants would be chosen and what that process looks like. But that's something that we are going to need to be really thoughtful about, is ensuring that there's some coherence within geographic areas in terms of programming, as well as ensuring that each of our schools can be healthy and can be successful.
The caution that I would add is it's important to be unified but not petrified. We don't want to be Blockbuster, right? To say we are so set in our ways that we're not looking at these innovative opportunities for kids and for teachers and learners along the way that we stay stuck. We don't want to stay stuck, but we don't want to push, as you said, so hard that we lose our way in that fatigue. So thoughtful moving forward and being unified but not petrified.
One other quick idea, and you can tell we're all very passionate about this. The idea of an entrepreneurial spirit is not limited to any one stakeholder in JEFCO. It's expanded for all stakeholder perspectives. And we want to honor not either or, something innovative or the model you've been doing. We would love to perpetuate ideas and the great work that's happening. And I think by, to your comment earlier about teachers having to feel like they're chasing the next new thing and what is this gonna be and where's the next innovation, we wanna balance the respect and honor the work that they do to maintain the wonderful classrooms we have now, and give teachers the opportunity to innovate and create their own inspirations, so that some of the feedback we hear from teachers, like our colleagues at Dutch Creek, changed my life. I'll never go back to it. They have those ideas. They can bring those to the table. And it's tools and processes like this that would allow them to put those ideas out there for the betterment of our students.
Just to add to that, a couple of concepts that this innovation fund, innovation acceleration fund, would take advantage of is this idea of constrained innovation. So it's not just innovation for innovation's sake. It's through the lens of, is this a student-centered approach, and is it in keeping with the elements of the strategic plan that we're going to do some work on in a couple of weeks. So it's constrained to those things. And as Matt was saying, this democratizes innovation, right? This is not something that comes necessarily from the leader of the organization or the board or from the top. We're saying that any stakeholder in JEFCO potentially can apply for these funds if they have an idea. And it has some constraints around it, but we can ignite and support the innovation and allow that to be democratized across the organization and the community.
Are you thinking this would be is a K-5? Pennington Expeditionary Learning School?
Yes.
Okay.
With a pre-K still there.
With a pre-K.
I'm wondering if you've seen or heard of any sort of friction or rub as children come from expeditionary learning in elementary school and then matriculate to middle school, high school? Is there a readjustment process for the kids when they move from one to another?
Yeah, we're so new to it, I don't have an answer for that yet. But based on the problem-solving skills that they would have and the critical thinking and analysis skills, I would think that that would serve them well as they transition from elementary to middle.
I do think there is a real... as students get as excited as we described the teachers about their own learning, to go back to a different environment that didn't perpetuate learning in that same way can be an exercise in frustration for some of those students as our customers. So when we, part of the slide, you could see there's hot links for ideation, viability, some of the thinking. The viability question has to be asked, how does this play out within our articulation area? We can't do yo-yo methodology with our kids as they matriculate through the grades. Right. And we, what we're proud to say is when we encourage schools to think about this conversation, they do that within partnership within their feeder schools and within a systems approach so that we don't have that kind of effect. I will also say the market kind of drives that. When kids are so excited to learn, if they're coming from the elementary school and I'm the middle school principal, I'm absolutely paying attention to what's going on. And so that kind of market-driven thinking really helps to drive articulation areas thinking around what methodology is good for all of the kids in our area and spread it in the way that many of you suggested earlier. If we know it's working, how do we make sure it continues to work for those students?
More directly to your question, we had an PK-8 school in Eagle County that fed into Battle Mountain High School, which was a comprehensive high school. And so the kids did great. That was a very, I think what's important is that the entire system is shifting toward a student-centered approach. EL is a student-centered approach. So would all of the other schools that the district manages be shifting toward a student-centered approach? So there's some consistency. Again, it's that constrained innovation into this kind of work.
And I don't have the data, but I've spoken to some parents that went to Jeffco Open and their kids got into state colleges with their capstone, right? And then taking and scored highly on the entrance exams or the ACT. So I'm not sure if we have any data on that, but that would be great to know.
Okay. I want to say we appreciate hearing the update on the work going on to expand entrepreneurial efforts to meet the needs of our students and families. We appreciate the work that's being done. Jen, you should tell your staff we appreciate the work they're doing at Dutch Creek, too. We look forward to the next update. Unless you have anything else, Mr. Flores, I'm about to end this discussion.
Just thank you. Thank you for the dialogue and the conversation and really to think about these opportunities for our students.
Okay, that concludes our work for this evening. We are now adjourned.